Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. My back's feeling fine, too.
Good. Listeners, this is a very important poem that you found. It's not novel news, but way too often with back pain, we're choosing medicines that really are not proven to work. 85% of our patients will have lower back pain at some point in their life. The vast majority of those are going to be seen by us in primary care. It will fall into the category of non-specific lower back pain, meaning that it has the absence of any sort of underlying condition. Most of these are going to be self-limited. Lots of modalities to treat back pain. We won't talk about the non-pharmacologic ones, not because they don't work, but just because that's not what this poem is about. But one of the options I hope you'll leave this poem understanding is that muscle relaxants really do nothing to relax muscles and really serve only as a CNS depressant. Perhaps the evidence-based approach for back pain is to start with NSAID therapy in patients with acute back pain who have no contraindications to taking NSAIDs, and ibuprofen or naproxen are reasonable doses. Interestingly, there are some studies that look at acetaminophen, paracetamol, and these have been historically considered an option also for first-line therapy, but the evidence is increasing, and there's a Cochrane report that has recently been released that shows that these are really not much better than placebos. So returning to muscle relaxants, these are a diverse group of drugs, all of them sort of with similar physiologic effects, including CNS depression and perhaps a teeny degree of a muscle spasm relief, but that may just be because of the patient being laid up. Perhaps the patient is so loopy and sedated that they don't even notice the spasm. But anyways, my cynicism aside, there are some reasons and some data. Mark, you found a study published in the BMJ just recently. It's a meta-analysis. It asks the question, do muscle relaxants provide release for non-specific lower back pain?
Yeah, this is a good summary of the evidence. And, you know, we still see, you know, patients coming from the ER after they've had acute low back pain following up with us, and they're on the holy trinity of an NSAID, Flexeril, and maybe some hydrocodone, right? And the question is, are all three of those really necessary? And the answer, I think, pretty clearly is no. These researchers looked in 8 databases. I'm teaching a course on meta-analysis this semester, and I have trouble finding more than 5 or 6, so they did a really good job. They also looked, what's really important, at trial registries to find studies that had never been published, and they found an overall 49 studies with about 6,500 patients looking at the efficacy and the acceptability and the harms of these muscle relaxants. They looked at trials published in a bunch of different languages. French was not one of them. They must not have had any French speakers on the team. And they also looked at benzodiazepines and as well as a non-benzodiazepine. So non-benzos include things like what we would call Soma, Flexeril, some methocarbamol, some that aren't available in the U.S. In 16 studies with about 4,500 patients, patients taking a non-benzodiazepine muscle relaxant had a pain intensity that was about 8 points lower on a 100-point scale at 2 weeks. In general, a difference less than 10 points isn't clinically important or noticeable by patients, something that we call the minimal clinically important difference. If you looked at only published studies, the difference in pain release increased to an average of 10 points. And that's probably a reflection of publication bias, which inflates the benefit when smaller negative trials never get published. On the other hand, if you look at only the best evidence, analyzing only studies with low risk of bias or that had a placebo control, those studies found absolutely no difference in pain relief. In 22 studies with 3,400 patients looking at safety and tolerability, non-benzodiazepine antispasmodics were more likely to cause an adverse event. Relative risk was about 1.6, so about 60% more likely. And that's not surprising. We know lots of our patients complain about the sedation and feeling loopy with taking these drugs. There were only one study each of baclofen and diazepam, and they found no benefit. There was significant heterogeneity. Most of the benefit was actually seen in a muscle relaxant called thiocolchicoside, which I'd never heard of, and that's because it's not marketed in the U.S. They say there was no evidence of publication bias, but when I look at the funnel plot for disability, it very clearly looks like publication bias. I think they were over-relying on a statistical test to detect that, and that test doesn't work well when you have a relatively small number of studies. So in any case, bottom line, stick with NSAIDs for treatment of low back pain, acute low back pain. Despite being used for over 50 years, the evidence supporting these benzos is of low certainty. None of them produce a clinically important difference, especially when you look at only the best studies. And I went in and looked at the funnel plot for this, which is the summary of the evidence for this meta-analysis. And it's really interesting. There was one initial study of crisaprodol, which is SOMA, and it showed a huge, gigantic benefit of like 50 points done back in 1972. It had a grand total of 14 patients in each group. A tiny, crappy little study that got them apparently FDA approval. They went back in 2011 and 2012 and did four large, adequately powered studies to try and get formal FDA approval, and that would grant them some patent protection for a period of time. Those studies were completely negative, and they were never published. And so that's the kind of thing that we have to look for when we're doing meta-analysis. Did they really find all of the literature?
So Mark, just using your crystal ball here, you started this poem talking about how common these drugs are prescribed by ER docs and others. Not to chastise ER docs, but why do you think it's been so difficult to stop using these drugs? I mean, do patients feel as though they're helping them?
You know, I it's not my experience that the patients come in requesting these. There are some patients who clearly, you know, maybe enjoy that feeling that it gives them and do request them. But for, you know, most of my patients, the most common response is, yeah, I tried that once. It made me feel bad and I don't want to try it again.
Right.
So, you know, I can think of several patients who very much want their Flexeril every month, and they want their 30 or 60 Flexeril every month for chronic low back pain. And, you know, so then you have to think, what are we doing here? Now, it is a little different. This is mostly acute low back pain, not chronic, but probably not much difference, you know, in efficacy.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.